The kapitel that we're the kenna that we're up to now is Arzi Alavanon, and it speaks about tragically the death of the Asara Ruge Malchus. The Asara Ruge Malchus are the 10 of the greatest of our Tanayim, sages, Chachamim, that were killed cruelly in a very, very terrible way by the Romans. It's brought down, we read this twice, once on Tisha B'Av and once on Yom Kippur. I try to come up with a few ideas or lessons, things that we can take from this paragraph, from this kenna. We read it on Tisha B'Av, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that the death of tzaddikim is like the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So once we're mourning about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we mourn about the death of our greatest Chachamim. And there's another Gemara in Moed Katan that brings down that the death of the Chachamim of Tzaddikim is a kapara for Klal Yisrael, and that's why this paragraph is read on Yom Kippur. The question is why was this decreed? Why was the death of these 10 Chachamim, these 10 Tanayim decreed? Most of them, of the 10, 8 of them were all around the same period of time. 2 of them were earlier, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but the rest of them were after the debacle, the destruction of Beitar, with the Bar Kokhba rebellion. So the Medrash brings down that Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol, when he found out that there was such a decree, he went up to Shemayim, and whatever words he used, however sukkim that he said that he knew, and he was told in Shemayim that this was a kapara for the 10 brothers that sold Yosef. That when the 10 brothers sold Yosef, it put into Klal Yisrael this sinah of among the brothers. And this sinah remained in Klal Yisrael, and it was there, and it finally came out after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of sinas chinam. So this decree finally came to fruition at a time when the sinas chinam was manifested. And Rabbi Yishmael was told to accept it because this is what Hashem wanted, and they did. But the next question would be is, what about the Romans? Why did they decide that after the Bar Kokhba rebellion, it was the time, that was the time that they went out and they killed 10 of the 8 of that time, 8 of the greatest sages that maybe even of all times. So maybe we can answer, in order to answer this, maybe we have to go back a little bit in history. The Bar Kokhba rebellion was about 60-65 years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And after during the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Romans really, for all intents and purposes, really destroyed the Jewish people, because there was really nothing left to the Jewish people except the people. The Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people at the time, had an independence. They were independent of Rome. They were part of the Roman Empire, but they had their own monarch. They had their own king. They had their own army. They had a Beis HaMikdash. They had Yerushalayim. They had fortifications, they had armies, they had everything you could imagine. It was a very, very relatively strong empire at the time. And when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, everything was destroyed. There was nothing left to the Jewish people. And the Romans thought that that's it. It was over. They minted coins based on this destruction. Titus built an arch, which is today, which his procession was probably the greatest procession they had in Rome, showing the victory over the Jewish people. And there was nothing left. 70 years later, under the leadership of a person, his name was Bar Kosiba, and Rabbi Akiva gave him the name Bar Kochba. And Bar Kochba, 70 years later, led a rebellion against the Romans that the Romans were never so threatened in their empire ever before, and until they were just destroyed a few hundred years after that. And it was just the Romans just didn't understand this. When to show you what this rebellion was, when the Romans came to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, they came with 4 legions and 1 in reserve. A legion is 10,000 men. So they came with 40,000 men to attack the second Beis HaMikdash, and another 10 in reserves, and that's not counting all the auxiliary, you know, all the other nations that supplied men and supplies and everything as well. 70 years later, when Bar Kochba's rebellion came about, the Romans came with 10 legions and 2 in reserve. So the rebellion against, and they pulled in their number one general who was in the time in Europe, pulled him in. This rebellion was just such the fact it was half, just about half of the entire Roman army was sent to fight Bar Kochba. And on paper, it really wasn't clear who would win. In other words, in reality, the Bar Kochba rebellion had the possibility that they could have won this war. For 3 years, they were successful. And then the bottom line was that Bar Kochba was sold out by somebody. they told the Romans how to get into the city of Beitar. But basically, he had an informant among the Romans, and that's basically how they lost. But in reality, Hashem wanted it to happen. But after the war, it was such a terrible war. The Gemara in Gittin brings down the amount of blood that flowed. It says the blood flowed from Beitar to the river, and they measured the river. It was 2/3 blood and 1/3 water. And if you think the river was close, the Gemara says it was far away. It says for the next, I don't know how many years, 10 years, 20 years, I don't remember, the Gemara says is that the non-Jewish farmers fertilized their field from the blood of the Jews. The Romans also suffered a tremendous amount. Usually, when they would send word back to the Roman Senate that they were victorious, they had some sort of an opening line that would say something like, if everything is well with you and your children, things are well with us. And then they would give the news, we were victorious over, you know, whatever battle they did. This time, the Romans suffered so much losses in this battle against Bar Kochba that they left the title out. And after that, after this battle, They were trying to figure out what was it? How is it shy? How is it possible for a people who was destroyed relatively short time ago, 60, 70 years ago, without a government, without an army, without fortifications, without anything? How is it possible that they could put up such a fight against Rome and they almost were victorious? And they came up with the answer. The Gemara brings down that in the middle of this battle of the Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, is a little bit of a side story where one of the greatest leaders, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, sneaks out of the city. And he gets an audience with Vespasian, and as he's talking to Vespasian, the conversation, he calls him Shalom Alecha Malka, peace be unto you, King. And Vespasian says, I have to kill you for two reasons. First of all, you called me a king and I'm not a king. And secondly, if I am a king, what took you so long to get here? And while they're talking, messengers from Rome came and said, in fact, that he was just a stand-up Vespasian. You were just nominated as the new emperor from the Senate in Rome. And of course, this was all planned by Hashem, because in the way the custom of the Romans were, that if you were a bearer of good news, you were rewarded. And Hashem made it that Yochanan ben Zakkai got there just before the messenger. And now Vespasian had to, offer something to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And he says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, what is it that we can offer you? What is it that you want? Ask. And the Gemara goes on. There was a machlokas between him and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva held he should ask for to save the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yochanan felt tafasta meruva lo tafasta. If I ask for the Beis HaMikdash, I won't get anything. But he makes a request. He asks for three things. One is, don't kill out the line of Rabbi Yishim ben Gamliel, the Nasi. Two, a refuah for a tzaddik. And then the third. And the third was, is tein li yavne v'chachamecha. He says, I want a yeshiva. Please. A little way out city, a way out village. We know where it is. You can go there today. It's nothing. It's a little out of the way place. I want a yeshiva. I want to be able to sit and learn Torah with my students. And that's what he asked for. And the Romans there were probably laughing at Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Because what could he have asked for? He could have asked for taxes, for 3 years of taxes. He could have become a rich man. He could have asked for Roman citizenship. He could have asked for anything in the world. And what does he ask for? He asks for a little yeshiva. This was the only institution, this is the only thing that the Jews had after the Chorban, was the yeshiva. And 70 years later, when the Romans were trying to figure out, what was it? How was it possible the Jews, where they're able to lift themselves up and go ahead and take on the mightiest power of earth, on earth at the time? And they came across and they said, you know what, it must have been that request of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai duped them all. He fooled everybody. They thought they had him, and he undermined. Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knew the strength of the Jewish people is its learning Torah. With to such a point where 70 years later, the Jewish people could be in such a situation, get such a strength, that going from the dumps, from the psychological loss of everything, and just to turn it around, to take on the most mightiest forces. And therefore the Romans decided then and there, after the destruction of Bar Kokhba, they figured it out. And they probably really did figure it out. And they said, that's it, no more Torah. And they made a whole bunch of decrees. One of the decrees, of course, was no teaching Torah in public. You cannot have any Torah teaching in public. Of which, two of the Haruge Malchus were killed because of Torah learning in public. Rabbi Akiva, they asked him, why do you do it? He said, how could we be like a fish without water? We have to, there's only one thing, is to teach Torah. And the other one was Rav Chanina ben Trajon, and he was also caught teaching Torah in public. And in order to show to how they killed, and each one was killed brutally, just with such rishis. And how was Rav Chanina ben Trajon killed? He was killed. They took a Sefer Torah, they wrapped him around, and in order to keep him alive for a little bit, they put like wet wool around his heart so that he should continue to feel the torture. And when he said, he told the people, "What do you see?" He says, "I see the clock burning, but the letters going up." The reason why those two were killed was because it wasn't just a war on these Talmidei Chachamim. It was a war on Torah. It was a war on Hashem. Reb Chutzpah Samitorgamin, when they got a hold of him, he was able to teach Torah on such a beautiful level, the clarity. And what did they do to him? Before they killed him, they cut out his tongue. And they took his tongue and they threw it in an ash heap, a garbage heap, to which a pig came and ate the tongue. And right. That's one of the reasons Acher, Elisha ben Avuya, when he saw this, he said, "Such a tongue that taught Torah, how could it be?" And that's what caused Elisha to go off. This is one of the proofs that Torah says, Skara Bahai al Malekha, there's no skara in this world. All the skara goes to the next world. Another one of the people that were killed, another decree that the Romans made was no more smicha. The smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu that was all the way, that continued from generation to generation, Talmud to Rebbe, at that time after the Bar Kokhba rebellion, the Romans said, no more smicha. Whoever gives smicha, we will kill the one who is giving the smicha and who is getting the smicha. We will also take the city that the smicha was given in, and we will flatten the city. So that they weren't kidding, and the Romans would do that. It was Reb Yehuda ben Bava, and he had five of his talmidim, and he said to them, "I'm going to give the five of you smicha." The four of them were it was Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua, Reb Shimon bar Yochai, Rebbe Yehuda bar Eloi, Rebbe Yossi ben Chalifta, and some say there was another one. And they decided to go outside in between two cities, and in a small path, and that's where he gave them the smicha. I don't know if he actually gave them the smicha, he was about to give them the smicha, and somebody turned them in. Somebody told the Romans that this is happening. So of course he did it outside two cities so they wouldn't destroy the city. But when the Romans were coming, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava said to these two students, "You run and I'm going to block the way." And he blocked the way. They couldn't get through him. It says that's how he killed him. They shot arrows into him until finally he died. But all the others got away. So the point of killing all of these Talmidei Chachamim was not just, okay, let's take some rabbis and kill them. It was a deeper war. And this is that old war between Yaakov and Esav, the war against we have the Torah and we have what we stand up for, what's right. And this is the gullus that we're in. The killing of the Asura Malchus was a war against Torah, and it was a war against Hashem. And this is where we are now. And this war continues to our day. Just look at any headlines of today and all that's going around. All the crazy stuff that's going around. It's just, all it is really, really a battle, a fight against the Torah. Just the whole purpose is to undermine Torah. And that's what we're here in Gullus for. And in Mitzvah Hashem with the Beis HaMikdash, in Mitzvah Hashem with the building of the next Beis HaMikdash, Torah will get its place. And we'll be out of it. We'll get everything that we need. Arzei Alavanim.